Hello, welcome to the Wednesday, February 25th, 2015 edition of the SANS Internet Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Remember Lenovo Superfish? Well, just about a week old, and we have another SSL intercepting piece of software that leaves users more vulnerable. In this case, it's actually part of security software. At least one of the ways you would install it is as part of Komodo's Internet Security 2014. It's also marketed as a standalone product called PrivDog, short for Privacy Dog. Now, you would think that Komodo, the world's third largest certificate authority, would know how to do SSL right, but not so in this case. PrivDog is built as a tool to watch for malicious advertisements. It is supposed to also protect your privacy. That's sort of where the name comes from the prying eyes of these advertisers. Now, in the past, PrivDog came as a browser plugin and, of course, was able to inspect content as a plugin after it was decrypted by the browser's SSL stack. But more recently, PrivDog changed its model and it's now a proxy. So this way, you don't need to install plugins into every browser, but all web requests are then sent through this proxy. Instead of all connections, including SSL connections, are now incepted by a PrivDog. And to do so, PrivDog, of course, has to work around the certificate issue. And it does create a unique certificate authority for each user. So in each install, it creates a new certificate and a corresponding key, which is a little bit different than what Superfish did. So that's somewhat better. But PrivDog itself does not actually check if any websites it connects to have a valid certificate. So the end effect is, if you're now connecting to a website with a bad certificate, you don't notice this. There is no more pop-up warning because you received the now valid certificate that PrivDog created for you. And that's really the big problem here. This, of course, sort of invalidates, you know, what protection SSL tries to provide. People could now, again, play man in the middle. Komodo did deliver a patch on Tuesday, but you may still want to uninstall the software itself to avoid any problems that it may cause. Now, whenever we are dealing with an SSL intercepting tool, you need to make sure that it doesn't create your SSL configuration. We had actually this issue with Poodle. When we set up the Poodle test site, there were a couple of users that had up-to-date browsers that were protected against Poodle, but because they were behind a proxy that intercepted SSL, they were still vulnerable because that proxy was vulnerable. And if you're running Samba on Linux systems, then, well, it's time to patch. A remote code execution flaw in Samba was fixed earlier this week. Exploiting the flaw would give an attacker the ability to execute arbitrary code as root on the affected server. Clients are not vulnerable. The vulnerable part is the SMBD process. So if you have that process listening, then you certainly need to look for a patch. And Visa announced the use of tokenization in mobile contactless payments in Australia. The tokenization scheme is somewhat similar to what Apple is doing with Apple Pay, and it's based on the evolving standard that the credit card industry is adopting. So it's somewhat a pilot to do that in Australia. The neat feature of tokenization, of course, is that a credit card number is never passed to the merchant and actually doesn't even have to be stored on a mobile device. So overall, the exposure of your credit card is limited. Instead, you just have this token that is passed. Think of it as a one-time use credit card number. Now, Visa picked Australia for this initial implementation due to its high rate of mobile payments, and it will only be used for mobile payments. So there is no way how you can do that sort of with a physical credit card, of course, and you can still pay, of course, just with your regular credit card with any merchants that don't support it. But in that case, of course, your credit card number is still exposed. So as more and more transactions do use tokens, of course, credit card numbers will become less and less available for attackers, which probably is a good thing. That's the main problem right now, that the entire security of the traditional credit card payment system is limited to these 16 digits on your card. And in diaries, we got two diaries today, one with a quick summary of ways to track web browsers. I came up with a total sort of 11 different ways how users may be tracked, in addition to cookies and IP addresses and such. Of course, there are now a number of newer methods that are being employed by advertisers. And then a second one with a report of, well, yet another crypto locker sighting at copy.com. Now, copy.com isn't so far special here. Copy.com was here used just to deposit a malware. So the user visited the malicious or the compromised website, which then included this malware from copy.com. Copy.com is a file sharing service, a little bit like Dropbox and other services. It's targeting more corporate users, and it's operated by Barracuda, of course, who makes mail filters and web filters in addition to this copy.com service that are somewhat intended to filter out attacks like CryptoLocker. Luckily, Barracuda was really fast here in removing the malicious file, so it's gone now from copy.com. But overall, one of the lessons here is that a lot of these cloud services are legitimate services are also used to host malware. And that, of course, invalidates for a large part the use of blacklists, for example, because you may not want to blacklist, for example, Amazon's cloud. Well, and that's it for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow.